Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. Once again, I want to say thank you for listening to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, as I do, I want to say thank you to everyone who listened to this podcast. My heart, man, thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you. Tonight, I'm going to talk about how much sex is enough to get over someone. Is it a situation where you just need to bang it on out constantly? Or are you the type that just need a one-night stand and a cigarette? Also, my question of the night is courtship dating juvenile? So please, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, pour you a glass of wine, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. All right, so once again, my question of the night is courtship dating juvenile? And it's funny, I found this topic watching a TV show. And someone was going through some issues, and they put it in a way that, you know, when you're dating, it can be juvenile. And I never gave that any thought. I never looked at courtship dating, as juvenile, because I think to date is a universal thing that both men, women, and everyone enjoy doing as you get to know someone. It's supposed to be a standard. But then, if you're constantly dating and you're constantly meeting people who's not up to par or who can't meet you on your level, then you tend to, I know I would think, like, you know what? Maybe they're not ready for me. Maybe they're not mentally in tune with what dating is all about. And also, dating has become getting some booty has become the new dating. Getting booty the first night or the first couple of days or the first week has replaced traditional dating. And that's my opinion. I'm not saying that's how it is, but from what, you know, I stand and from what I've seen in the last 10 to 15 years, dating is like, yo, can I come over? Whereas courtship dating in my day, you would get permission from the parents. That's if you're, you know, underage. You get permission from the parents, and the parents will meet you, get some type of good feel from you. And you know what made it real good? If your moms or your father came over, if both parents met each other, that's the type of dating I remember. Now, when I got older, I wouldn't say it was similar, but it was, you had to get to know a person for a couple of days or a week before you actually went on a date. And sometimes if you were spontaneous, you might say, you know what, just meet me tomorrow. Or how about we get together this weekend? If it was like in the middle of the week. So it ranges, and it went by however you felt. But now in 2022, man, it's like, can I come get some ass? And I've worked with some guys, you know, in a couple of situations, and we've, you know, been on break, and I'm listening to them like, yo, I'm coming over, and I'm gonna hit that, or go ahead and get it ready for me. So I'm like, you know, I'm listening. I'm not a nosy person. I don't get into gossip, and I don't listen to people's shit. But if you're sitting there right in my face, my curiosity is piqued. So one day I asked this young dude, I said, hey man, well, how long you been doing? He's like, Mr. Robinson, I met her last night. I said, you about to hit when we get off work? He said, hell yeah. He said, you never did that? I said, there been a time or two, you know, I may have dabbled into, you know, some smash on the first night or some one night stand type shit. But, you know, as I get older, I moved away from that because, you know, I want to have more of a respect for the woman. And I'm not saying I've never respected one night stand, but come on. If someone get with you and give you some ass the first night, it's like, it is what it is. Now, if you're mature enough, and if you're, and if you think the person has some type of substance to them, then you kind of like move past that initial one night stand phase, and you take it to another level as far as wanting to get to know the person. So, I was thinking about that. I was just, that is fascinating. It was fascinating for me to listen to someone else, you know, do something that I did 20 years ago, but do it. He remixed it. That's what it was. He remixed it. And now it's common. It's like, and let me say this, ladies, not all of you, but there's a lot of women who make it easy for men to approach them in a certain way or to talk to them in a certain way. And then on the flip side, you say, well, you shouldn't let the way I dress or the way I talk be a reason for you to disrespect me. No. You giving them ammunition to come at you in a disrespectful manner. If you halfway naked, if you talking about how the last guy choked you, if you talking about how you like anal sex, guess what you're going to get when the next when a man see that? Automatically, he going to think, okay, shit, this her get down. So why you getting mad at me because I say I want to have anal sex with you? You have let the world know that you like anal sex. So now that we are talking, you like me and I like you. Now you get offended because I'm, you know, coming at you because I like to have anal sex with women too. So you barking right up my tree, sister. You giving me what I want. So let me get what I want from you. You get what you want from me, and we call it a day. Why your feelings, or why you gotta feel like you being disrespected, or you being treated like a trick? When you started the trickiness, you let everybody know you was, you know, you got down like that. And I've never understood that. So that's what we at in the world today, where women think it's cool to say, I like to get choked out. But get mad when a man say, yo, I'm coming over and I want to choke the fuck out of you while we fucking. How do you get upset? How do you get pissed off? How do you think he disrespecting you because he's just giving you what it is that you require? So, with this topic, with this question, man, it was like, I had to go back. I had to reflect on my dating. And honestly, I think that was some of the best times of my life. You know, actually meeting someone or being with someone. Like my ex-wife, man, we did everything. I Miss Pac-Man, bowling, pitchers, Florida. When she was in college, I would ride a Greyhound and spend the weekend with her. And, man, it was beautiful. That dating process was everything to me. That got me through the week until I was able to see her, you know? So now it's like, it's a thing of the past. Like I said, I've talked to younger people and they like looked at me as if I'm talking gibberish, as if I'm just speaking something nonsense. And I'm like, man, just give it a try, bruh. He like, man, I ain't trying to spend no money on these tricks. He used a different word, but for, you know, I don't want to say exactly what he said, but, you know, he made it seem like that was impossible for him. Why the hell should I give all that to someone who just want, you know, who don't want that much but to be choked out? There's a few key differences between courtship and dating. And that could be seen as making the latter more juvenile. For courtship, usually takes place with the intentions of marriage in mind, while dating is often seen as something fun and casual with no real end goal. So when you courting someone, in your mind, and hopefully in the mind that you're courting, hopefully in the mind of the person that you're courting, it's about coming together as one, not as to just have some fun and, you know, we get a little bit, We go out and, you know, get a couple of drinks, go about our day, call other people, and then if we're not working it out with other people, we come back together. No. When you're courting, you're like, okay, we're talking about rings, we're talking about houses, we're talking about babies, we're talking about vacationing, we're talking about the future, 401k. We're not talking about getting choked out. Nah. If I'm courting you, I mean, hey, if I'm courting you, I do want to choke you out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but I want to get to that point. I want to build up to it. But nowadays, there's no build up. It's instant sexual gratification. I got to get some. I got to make this happen. You know, she looking good. She done told me she want to get, you know, banged out on her butt. So guess what? I don't need to call her for what? Another key difference is that courtship involves families of participation, while dating is typically more of an independent thing. And like I said a few minutes ago, when you're courting, you're going to meet those parents. The parents are going to want to meet you to make sure that you of quality substance, both female and male. You know, you want to know that your child is around good people when they're not around you. Because you can't, when kids start to date, when teenagers and young people start to date, you can't stop that momentum. You can't say, you can say you're not going to go see that person or you can't see them, but they go to school. They have moments away from the house. So why have them sneak around and do stuff that they shouldn't do where it might be something where somebody may come up pregnant, all because you don't want them to be together? So the thing is, you gotta find the balance. You gotta say, okay, if you're gonna date, you gotta date someone who's a quality substance, someone who brings something to the table other than just good looks, or who can make you laugh, or who can, you know, tell you sweet things in your ear. You need someone who, if you're going to college, they're thinking on a similar path, or they're trying to have a career going in the military, or, you know, sometimes entrepreneurship. But whatever it is, they'll be able to meet you on your level. You don't want someone who's just going to sit around and smoke or hang out while you working hard to build a career and to build a lifestyle. That's just wasting time. And the thing you want to do, you want to stop it before that seed is planted when they start dating. And that's the reason why, you know, it's good for parents to meet the potential mates of their children. Because if you see, parents, you know, have that experience. They can tell when someone's full of shit, you know, someone who's not up to par. So if you got someone who's not going to, you know, meet your child on the same level, then you need to put that in the end, like, hey, you might want to, you know, think about this. Because from what I see, and I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but as your parent, I'm trying to educate you on what you might want to do as far as dating this person. You're dating to, I mean, if the child is like 13, 14, 15, nah, they're not courting. You know what I'm saying? It's just them getting to know each other, spend a little time. Their time together is monitored by a parent or by an adult, and they're not in a lone situation. But as they become older, say like 18, 19, then yeah, you want to, like, hey, you might want to look for someone who has energy like yours, especially if you're trying to do something, especially if you're trying to be a productive citizen or someone who has something, someone who's trying to be about something. So, but there are pros and cons to both dating and courtship. While courtship may be seen more juvenile, it does have its advantages of allowing couples to get together to know each other better before becoming emotionally attached. On the other hand, dating allows couples to explore their relationship without the commitment of marriage. In the end, it's up to the couple to decide which path is the best for them to take. And on that note, I'll be right back with the topic of the night. All right, so we are back. And my topic of the night is how much sex is enough to get over someone. This is funny because when I have these conversations, when I, you know, do these topics, automatically I go to what it was or how I got down or the things that I did. And it's funny because I always think about how I would move after someone said they didn't want to be bothered or we will mutually break up. Automatically, I got dressed. I got sharp. I had me some Tangerine with some grapefruit juice and a Heineken. Was in the mirror, you know, shaping up my goatee, you know, shaved my hair like my hair was like smooth. You know what I'm saying? The outfit matched. Underwear matched the outfit. So I was on point when I stepped in the club or to some type of event where I knew it was going to be a room full of women. Because I was going to pull somebody. Trust and believe. I wasn't going to leave out of there without having someone on my arm. Because I had to get over the fact that I failed a relationship or someone didn't want me. Now, everybody deal with that differently. J.R. Robinson, when someone don't want me, what I instantly do is like ignore it and say, something is wrong with you. But, and when I say something's wrong with me, something wrong with you, I'm speaking of the person who I was dating. I'm saying, how you gonna like not date me or be with me or sleep with me no more? Well, I'm the best damn thing. I am the best damn thing that happened to you. My head was so high in the clouds. I didn't realize how much of an asshole and a jerk I was being. Part of me didn't want to realize it. Part of me didn't want to accept the fact that you're the reason why the relationship didn't work. All the bullshit and games and nonsense that you was taking this young lady through, you're the reason. So get off your high horse, acknowledge that you fucked up, and make sure that the next person that you meet don't have to feel that same type of venom or that sting that you've left on the person you just, on the person who just broke up with you. That took forever to learn. And when I say that took forever, I didn't learn that till maybe I was in my late 30s. I want to say after my last child. I think I was about 38, 39. So after my last child, that's when that kicked in. When I looked at her, when I held her in my arms, I just realized that I had to stop being a dick. Everything didn't revolve around how good I was. So, to get back to the initial question, for me, I'm not going to say a lot, but within that day or two after breaking up with somebody, I had to regroup. I had to recover. I had to get back on point. I had to make sure that I wasn't the reason. Or my skills in the bedroom was the reason why this chick didn't want to be with me. Just ignoring the actual reason had nothing to do with sex, had nothing to do with her, had everything to do with me. Not all the time, but the majority of the time. So when it comes to sex and getting over someone, there's no one answer that fits everyone. Some people may need to feel like they need to have sex frequently to get over someone, while others only need it occasionally. A good one night stand and a cigarette, like I said earlier, shit. That used to do the job for me when I used to smoke, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't really smoke cigarettes, I smoked cigars. So, you know, after I got what I needed to put me to sleep, had a couple of puffs, I was good. I was centered. I was back in my, you know, I was back in my lane. Everything was right with the world again for me. You know? And that person who I broke up with, they were non-existent. It was like I forgot who the fuck they were unless they called me or paged me to try to have me come over. You know, I used to get, I know you're working late or I know you're working long hours and you ain't have time to cook. But I made some baked chicken, rice, macaroni, pasta, salad. And, you know, I got some Arnold Palm over here. And I have some sweet potato pie. Look at y'all. I'm a Southern dude. So, I tried to stick to my... I ain't fucking with her, it's over with mode. But when she broadcast all that, all those good Southern yummies. Yo, I was like, exit stage left. I was like the road runner. I got off my high horse and I was like, meet me. Can I get something to eat? I would get something to eat and eventually we would end up in her bedroom. And for me, it was like, you know, well, how you going to say you're going to break up with me and then try to get back with me with some food? Ain't you know the saying. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And for years, that shit worked. That was my okie doke. That was my carrot under the box with the string on it. So once I go try to get the carrot, the young lady will pull the string and I'm under the box. That's how they got me. Through food. You know. But, there's no right or wrong answer. Ultimately, it's important to figure out what works and what helps you, you know, move from the previous relationships. And a lot of times, it don't need to be sex. And I think it was just my choice. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt like I was, like, invincible. I was strong. I was vibrant. I was like, ugh! So sex was like, okay, it was like drinking water, you know? You make a call, you say a couple of, you know, words, you make somebody laugh. Next thing you know, you moving their kid off the, you know, out the bed onto the couch. Everybody copes with breakup differently. And what works for me will definitely not work for the next person. Sex is a way to release pent-up emotions. And when someone say they don't want you, that emotionally taps. I don't care how strong you are mentally, that emotionally taps into you. That question who you are. That question what it is that person don't see in you anymore. So, to release that emotion is healthy. Because if you don't, it'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you bonkers trying to figure out, especially if you got someone who play games. I'm going to break up with you, but I ain't going to tell you. Ooh, I used to hate them type of chicks. Ooh, they used to, and they know. My thing is, I need a conclusion. I need shit to be said and done. I don't need anything that's still lingering. Once I'm done with you, then we're fucking done. You know what I mean? But some people, they knew that if they held me on the string, I would come back, or I would like constantly like, okay, what's the problem? Why, you know? I mean, I had my day. There was sometimes I didn't give a fuck, and there were times I just had to know because I would be at work and it would be bothering me. Like, okay, now I know everything is good with me on my end. You know, and honestly, I did a self-check. I did a one of those thorough self-check. I looked in the mirror. I looked at my reflection, and I looked in my face, and I tried to see if there was anything that I would see to indicate that something was wrong with me. Now, maybe I'm just being biased because it was me. But I didn't see nothing, you know. Sometimes I didn't want to, and a lot of times I just didn't see anything. So I thought it was more of a mutual situation where we both probably got tired of each other or we just the relationship ran its course. I think ultimately it's up to the individual to really say, hey, this is the deal. We're not working out. Let's just go our way. Once you say that, that's all you need to say. There's nothing else to bring to the table. There's nothing else to make a point. That pretty much ends the relationship. It's been so many times where, okay, I'm gonna give you an experience of mine, something that happened. It had been years since I saw this young lady. But she called me out of the blue begging for help. And she needed some financial help. And at that point, at that time, I was working, a lot of overtime. So I was able to help. And even though we had a bad breakup, she had been there for me, you know, in many ways. So I said, you know what? Okay, I got you. Because she was in the bind. And I was pretty much the only one who could help her. So we met at her place, and, when I saw her, I couldn't help but feel those emotions stirring up in my loins. I instantly wanted her, and I felt the same thing from her. You know, I felt it was more than her needing some help financially. Obvious by the way, what she had on. She had on one of them sheer one-piece with no underwear under it. So she greets me at the door like that. So automatically I'm like, okay, I already know where it is. It's not just about a couple of dollars. But part of me felt like I couldn't act on my feelings. And I was there for a specific purpose. I was there to help a friend out who needed some money. And I tried my best to stay focused. I tried my best to stay focused. I tried my goddamn best to stay focused. But she grabbed my hand, y'all. She grabbed my hand and pulled me into that bedroom. Okay, I'm 6'6". At the time, I was about 250, 260, you know, thick. So it's hard for someone to make me move. But when you got a sexy woman with a sheer one piece pulling you to the bedroom, you are easily led. You are led like Moses leading the people to the Red. I don't want to use that. I don't want to use Moses. But you can be easily led when you are turned on, or you're excited, or you remember what it was about that person who just, you know, knocked you out the box. So we get in her room, she started addressing me, and there was a little bit of nervousness from her, you know, but I think that once she got me in the room, I think she felt safe, like, okay, I got it, you know what I'm saying? And the nervousness started to, you know, start to vanish. But I wasn't going to make it easy on her, you know, okay, you got me in the room, but you know, just you pulling my clothes off and think you're just going to fuck because I'm a fuck toy. No. Respect me. So, you know, we teased, you know, we kissed and rubbed on each other. And you know, she had me at a point where I was like, okay, I fell into the hole, y'all. I fell into the rabbit hole, and I started begging. I'm like, okay, come on, let's go ahead and let's do this. You know, you got me in here. And she just kept teasing me and kept pulling away and kept teasing me and just kept driving me fucking crazy. I'm like, oh my God, she got me. Now, did I regret that I got caught up into her web? Part of me did. Part of me, you know, because we ended up being together, you know, we was intimate and it was like a marathon up in that mug. You know what I'm saying? It was like all night. Good thing I didn't have to work the next morning because it popped off again early that morning after breakfast. I had breakfast in bed. After breakfast, normally I'm full and I can't go no more. For some reason, I guess the breakfast gave me some type of energy because I was like, let's go. Let's do this. So, do I regret it? Not really. Part of me do, but there's a big part of me that don't. Because as much as we had issues and I was able to help her, the sex was great. We remain, you know, broken up. We didn't, you know, try to fix the relationship or try to, you know, mend, you know, what has been broken. But I guess that was like her final, you know, time being with me, because we hadn't been together since then. And this, we're talking about years. So I guess that chapter was closed after she got me back over there. And you know what? That girl still ain't paying me my money, but I'm good with that. I'm good with that because, like I said, we were friends first. So, you know, it's okay. I'm good with that. It wasn't like she got me like the 248. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know about the 248, go back and check out my podcast about this woman beat me for 248 for adoption. I mean, not adoption, for abortion. Ugh! Anyway, the thing is, you can't overanalyze having sex with someone else when you're ready and when you feel like you're ready to move on. I mean, if you, you know, if you break up with someone and you want to have sex, and if you need to have sex, then do it. Don't get into that. Don't get into your head thinking that, okay, I just broke up with somebody, should I have sex now? Shit, you got needs. And the needs outweigh morals sometimes. You know? A lot of people go back and forth and beat themselves up about, you know, morals. But you're human. Shit happen. You're going to do stuff that, you know, that's not morally right. Fuck morals. Go ahead and get that pleasure off. Once you get that pleasure off, then you come back to the morals and rebuild yourself. And get yourself ready for the next person. You know? There's no time stamp when you have to do everything step by step, the best way, according to this, according to that person. You do what you feel is best for you. Maybe sex isn't the cure-all for getting over someone. I know people who were fine with a nice bottle of wine, a couple of blunts, and some episodes of The Golden Girl. A friend of mine, she would tell me, I don't need sex. I got me some to smoke. I'm about to watch this Golden Girl marathon. And that got her through. I don't know how. But, you know, she was satisfied with that. Don't get me wrong. She did her thing. You know what I'm saying? She had a special friend who would come over and see her. You know, but I think he lived out of town. So they didn't really have that thing where they always saw each other. And that was the type of relationship that worked for her, you know. There's no one size that fit all to this question. Everyone deals with breakup differently. And ultimately, you'll need to figure out what works for you and what makes you feel better. I think the benefits of sex after breakup is that it helps you release those residual feelings you have for your ex. It can help you, you know, feel a little bit more confident. And it can boost your mood. Having sex also take shit off your mind and help you move on. It takes the negative energy of why you broke up off your mind in order for you to be able to move on. Because you can get to a point in your life and you'll sit and you'll just wonder and just knock yourself crazy trying to figure out what happened. And maybe it's not meant for you to know what happened at that particular time. Maybe you won't figure that shit out for years. So you can't stop living. You can't stop eating. You can't stop, you know, socializing. You can't stop having sex. All because something didn't go right with the last person. The drawbacks of too much sex after a breakup can lead to a feeling of emptiness. You're having sex, but you're not having anything that's concrete or that's sustainable. You're going home or you're being left in the bed by yourself, and that's it. The person that you're having sex with is not someone you can court or you can build a relationship with. And for whatever reason, you choose not to do it, it prevents you from being happy. I think when we have too much sex after breakup, we're trying to fill a void. I know that's how it was in my case. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times I didn't want to admit that, but I need to fill that void. I need to fill that void in order to not feel like I was a failure. Because I don't recognize failure. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I have failed in many things. But my thing is not to accept it and it be and it define me as a man or as a lover or as a person. You know what I'm saying? So to fail is not an option. But filling that void at one point in my life, it was my only option. Someone had to be in that place. I had to be with somebody. Some fine, thick young lady had to fill that void. Also, when we're not dealing with the pain of a breakup, we're just kind of like numbing ourselves with sex, which also leads to a sense of self-destructive behavior. It could be one of those things where it's like you don't recognize who you are. You're doing shit out of character, all because you're having sex with a lot of faceless people or nameless people. There are so many individuals that have sex with people they don't even remember their name. Let me go ahead and wrap this up. It is possible to say how much sex is... I'm sorry. It is possible to say how much sex is enough to get over someone, as everyone is different and will require different amount of time to heal. However, engaging in sexual activities can be a healthy way to help you cope with the pain of a breakup, and it aids to the healing process. So it's just pretty much up to the individual to decide how much sex they need to move on from any past relationships. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please, if there's anything you want to talk about, hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. I don't have no problem talking to anyone. I'm open, just as long as you're respectable. And once again, keep liking, man. Just keep sharing. I think people are sharing the podcast with their friends, so I'm going to ask that you continue to do it. You know, it's on Anchor. You can find it on anchor.com. You can find it on Apple, Spotify. You can find it on Google Podcasts. You can find me on Breaker Podcast. So I'm out there. All you got to do is just type in When He Speaks Erotica, and it'll pull up the link, and it'll pull up, you know, the podcast platform, and just go ahead and listen. Normally, I talk about 30 minutes. That's all I'm asking, 30 minutes of your time. You know, sometimes I might get a little lengthy in my conversation, but for the most part, I try to keep it short and brief, talk about this good sex, relationship, fucking, and everything under the umbrella, man. So do me a favor, y'all. Take care of yourselves, share the podcast, and I'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.